All right, we're back here on another Couch Coach Live, another Wednesday night here under the lights here at Couch Coach Live. We're back at it again. What's going on, Mal?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Not much, man. You know, same old, just working. Another, right. Another day, just working on the grind.
Yeah, you be busy now, huh? You got, it's like probably your favorite time of the year besides October.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot going on. Yeah, it's a lot going on, you know. As one, like for here, and I think it's gonna be like a slogan here on Couch Coach Live. It's never an off season. When one season or a subset of seasons end, then it's another, you know, another start of another another stuff that's going on. So it's always constant, nonstop. So never an off season. That's, you know, but hey, that's the world of sports, man. But we got a lot going on tonight.
Oh man, I wasn't gonna say anything, but the stuff you got on the show today, I'm so excited to hear your view on it, Coach.
Yeah, so we got a great show lined up for you, and obviously we're on the eve of opening day, quote unquote, especially in the United States. Also, we've had opening games in South Korea last week, so we'll talk about the Shohei Ohtani scandal. They raise a lot of questions and is very multi-layered. We'll talk about that. Last week we talked about Caleb Williams last week, as far as him taking RG3's advice, as far as pulling the Eli Manning when it comes to, you know, not opting out, but more so pulling the Eli Manning. Now Deion Sanders pretty much might pull Eli Manning with Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter next year. We'll talk about that. And a lot of stuff happened in the NFL owners meeting this week in Orlando, Florida. We'll talk about this new hip drop tackle ban, the kickoff rule. We'll talk about the Eagles opening up their season opener. That's going to be a Peacock exclusive event. And it's some other stuff I kind of want to talk about, but it, like, off the surface, like, we'll talk about there's a Christmas doubleheader. We'll talk about that as well. And just some other stuff that some alarming, not alarming things, but things that went place during the owners meeting this week. And then also, we'll give our game ball and final thoughts. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a brief timeout. We'll be right back here on Couch Coach Live. And we'll be right back. We'll kick that intro. And we'll be right back. Let's see. Let internet be great for me this evening. All right, we'll kick the intro. All Couch Coach Live, and this week's Couch Coach Live is powered by the good folks at SeatGeek. Head over to SeatGeek.com, use the promo code Couch Coach to get yourself $20 off your purchase. As we talked about earlier, a great opportunity to use a promo code, especially now we got opening day. Major League Baseball starts tomorrow. So if you want to go ballparks, and then we also got Elite Eight and Sweet 16 this weekend, Sweet 16 games, Elite Eight. Games, NCAA and NCAA basketball, women's and men. So go over to SeatGeek. For all your ticket needs, use the promo code CouchCoach, get yourself $20 off. So this was a news story that was brewing as we were on air last week. So I thought today would have been a perfect time for us to talk about it. Obviously, we'll get into the Shohei Ohtani interpreter. Well, we'll just say the whole scandal in itself. So we'll read a little excerpt from an article by a guy, Christopher Klein, So basically, if you see, as like I talked about it earlier, there was an investigation that came into light as we were on air last Wednesday about Shohei Ohtani and his former interpreter, Ipe Mazara. So basically, what in that time period, on Monday, Shohei Ohtani addressed the media, and he formally addressed the media on Monday in regards to a scandal centered on his former interpreter. In the comments, Ohtani denied all knowledge of interpreter's gambling and reiterated for the cameras he never bet on baseball or interacted with an illegal bookmaker. So obviously that. Still, the question remains about the veracity of Ohtani's evolving story. Initially, Ohtani told ESPN that the 29-year-old wired $4.5 million to an illegal bookmaker to cover his former interpreter's gambling debt. Then the story changed with Ohtani pivoting and accused his former interpreter of saying that he was willfully deceived by a friend. So this explanation was rather simple, if at the same point, a bit convoluted. So Ohtani's reps said that the former interpreter was initially controlling the flow of information to and from Ohtani. Allegedly that the two-way star didn't figure out the true nature of the ordeal until the interpreter addressed the Los Angeles Dodgers locker room on March 17th in Seoul, Korea. So pretty much giving you the surface level of this whole Shohei Ohtani situation. Want to get your thoughts on it first, Mal, your thoughts on just this whole Shohei Ohtani mess. And what you think his responsibility is in this case, and you know, and his involvement in this scandal.
I don't know, man. Like, you know, the stuff I watched today, the guys were saying how nice of a person the young man was, how he was to the children. And, you know, and that was a journalist that was on his pod. So he was being a journalist, and he was, you know, when they're on their podcast, they're kind of like, they take their coat, you know, they kind of show a little more a human side of themselves. But some of the people they were talking to were gamblers. So they was like, you know, as a journalist, they're not getting all the information that they want. But then I was listening to podcasters talk about big podcasters that was ex-athletes, and they was like, well, this is something that's normal. We're not saying that they might be covering up for this young man, but athletes, especially when you just signed a $735 million contract where it's easily, you could be duped, especially when it's somebody that's important to you, that you trust, like an interpreter. You know what I mean? So it's really hard. Like, I could see it from both sides. He did a statement, you know what I mean? And they cleaned it up. They said they don't even know where the guy is, his old interpreter. So it's really hard for me because, you know, I really don't know. I don't follow Major League like that. But as a human being, things could happen. He definitely could have been starting to get out of control by gambling. And they needed to figure out a way to slow him down because it wasn't going to be good for the league and for him. There's a lot of different variables, but it seemed like they're going to do a little quiet investigation. So whatever, you know, the way this year is going, whatever, you know, who's in the dark is going to come to light. But if they can, they're going to figure out a way to, you know, get it under control. But also, I will say this, as an athlete that's probably got that much money, like Gilbert Arenas spoke about how his he was duped by his, I think his investment broker or something like that, or something like $30 million. Like, all of them had some type of story of somebody trying to, you know, taking millions from them. So this can happen, you know, and then they don't even know where the guy is, you know. Also, I was just thinking this while you were talking.
Yeah.
You've been with, sometimes people want to control, the athlete, and they feel like, you know, he has so much trust in this individual, and maybe they want to get that individual out the way so they can better off have control over the athlete. That's just something throwing out there, but it's real interesting. What you think about it?
Yeah, I think it's rather interesting because I think the beauty of us now, the investigation now has been like a week long. So it's, right. You know, you've been able to kind of gather so many different types of details when it comes to it. Mm-hmm. I'm still even with the collection of all this information, it's kind of hard for me to him not knowing that $4.5 million mm-hmm. was wired out of his account. And I think, and almost to speak to Shannon Sharpe's point, when I think he talked about on First Take, normally with that kind of money, this isn't like $4,500, right. $450,000. This is $4.5 million in the case mm-hmm. where if money was wired to his account of that type of nature, he would have been notified immediately. And even with that, like he said, this is one caveat from Shannon Sharpe that I got. Well, usually somebody who's ever able to wire that amount of money to your account of that type of nature literally would have to have a power of attorney over you. They yeah. literally, so it's kind of one of those where I just find it odd. And plus that $4.5 million like betting, like what is your interpreter betting on to a point right. where and like this whole gambling debt, where is this really coming from? I think that's where everything get lost in it, because obviously he's gambling on something. So it's kind of one of those where, and then I just didn't like the fact where they turned it from, you know, him being at first it was like, okay, when we was, you know, while we was on air, this stuff was uncovering. The story was, okay, well, I just helped a friend out paying him X amount of money. Then mm-hmm. on Monday, when you have a press conference with no no questions being asked, and there's also where I think no one can have cameras in there, like as far as the media members couldn't film this. And now he's the victim. So it's kind of one of those where it looks bad on both ends, but in my personal opinion, he had some form of involvement. Not saying that Shohan betted on baseball or bet on games, mm-hmm. but I think he knew what was going on. Like I don't think he's 100% innocent when it comes to this type of stuff. And I know you know obviously, you know him, you know that, you know, as far as when it comes to how we handle stuff in America, it's going to be a whole lot different than what Shohan does. Like as far as when it comes to certain things, and when it comes to front of financials, it's a lot different how they will handle things versus what we do here in the United States. So it's kind of one of those where it has a lot of different underlying layers. But to wrap this topic up, he has some form of involvement in it. Mm-hmm. Not saying that I think he was well aware of what the interpreter was doing and was trying mm-hmm. to help him. And I don't necessarily think it was one of those where is he like an accessory to it, right. or did he contribute to that? Not necessarily. Right. And I think it could be a situation where he might have just been taken advantage of. And this is kind of a way to, okay, well, let's just clean this up right now. So it's kind of one of those where, and like you said, as the time progressed, I guarantee this won't be the last time we'll talk about this situation. I think once the investigation, you know, once they get deep into this investigation, we'll know more about this situation. But I think if you're looking at it now, March 27th, and this is a weekend, that's my stance on it so far. So I definitely think there was some form of involvement in an indirect way. So,
mm-hmm. so. Yeah. So it's, you feel like he might have been taken advantage of? Yeah. I feel like I'm just gonna piggyback with you. I feel like he that's his friend, and he was like, you know, hey, go do your thing. go do you. You know what I'm saying? And he got tied up, and maybe he was lending him to him. You think they might have said, man, you can't do that. Were he thinking it was okay as long as he wasn't gambling or he wasn't partaking in it? You think he was like that some people behind said, man, you can't say you did that.
I think it's just one of those where I think he was aware of it, and then like you said, that's hence the Monday situation,
right?
Where because with him it's going to be a bad look for you anyway,
right?
You're paying $4.5 million to essentially a bookie.
Right.
And you're playing the game of baseball. You're playing a sport where there could be some type of, this may not be the best way to kind of frame it. And this is just more so, this is just an example off the top of my head. It is not, in, just follow me. It's almost like being accessory to a murder.
Right. I got you.
Not saying that this is the case in this case. You could be driving a car. You could be somebody up not knowing that they're up to no good, in a sense. I think that's where I think he may fall to. But he knows friend is into something. But knowing, right. he knows his friend into some stuff. He don't think that night or whatever happened was going to end up like this. Hey, I'm just going to look out for you, help you out. But in hindsight, you know, it's going to hurt him because now it's going to bleed into his integrity of the game. Because obviously, you know, now they're making the comparison to him, and not me, but other pundits and other people in the media almost comparing, almost like, you know, well, now this happening, oh, we got Pete Rose got it, you know, make it to the Hall of Fame now. You know, you need to go to Cooperstown, which I'm like, hey, not yet. Let's let the investigation simmer. Let it kind of let us discover some stuff in this investigation before I go off the deep end when it comes
I think it's disrespectful because Pete Rose said he did gamble on sports. He did he admit that he gambled on baseball? He just said he didn't gamble on his games, right?
I'm not 100% sure what he admitted. So I'm not gonna sit here and he took culpability of betting on baseball, but I'm not sure if it was it was for the Reds or whatever.
Right.
But you know,
I got you. I mean, we give it, it's so many different variables. Like I said though, if you listen to the athletes, I listen to a gambler. I'm not a gambler. You know what I mean? I'm competitive, but I don't really like to gamble. A lot of the people that was, you know, that gambled, they were saying certain things, and they went into details about the bookies, about this, about that. So they gave a good perspective on things. But I think your last analogy probably exactly what it is. And it's always like that too. You always got that somebody that's close to you that kind of can always put you in a bind. You know what I mean? And you just, you know what I'm saying? In some type of way. The way some people was making it, they was making it even worse.
He's helping them out.
You know, some people was making it worse. Like, he's an interpreter, and maybe he was just saying some things that no one's saying. And maybe he put so much trust in him that he did have some type of power attorney, all type of stuff. You know, you never know.
Yeah.
I know Gil, something like that happened to Gil. So
it's in the early stages.
Yeah, something like that happened to Gil. I'm trying to figure out if it was his agent or it was his financial advisor. That's what it was. And I think it was a lot of money. He said just somebody out the blue would just happen to call to hit Gil. You know what I'm saying? And say, hey, man, are you blah, 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 blah? Because you know what I'm saying? Because there's been a lot of this going on. And that's how he ended up finding out.
Yeah, but like you know, as I said earlier, it's just infant stages of this investigation. I know this won't be probably the last time that we'll be talking about this, as this all be uncovered. So yeah, man. So it's definitely going to be very interesting. As we start the baseball season and opening day, it's, you know, might be the prevailing story throughout this whole baseball season during that, but. We'll shift our focus to college football, where we got to talk about Deion Sanders. So Deion Sanders went on $1 million worth of game while on Gilly podcast. So he talked about Shador and Travis Hunter. So he pretty much was saying, hey, Shador and Travis will decide where they will be drafted in the 2025 draft. He said pretty much certain cities that's not gonna happen. Pretty much it's gonna be almost similar to situation like Eli Manning. So, what's your thoughts on Deion Sanders' thoughts on Shador and Travis Hunter? Essentially, they pretty much will control their draft fate next season. What's your thoughts on that overall?
You know, they're using their leverage, man. You know, it seemed like people starting to know their value. You know, I know a lot of people were saying how the NFL is, but you know, if you really watch what we're going to talk about, it seemed like to me, the NFL is open to changes and scenarios and things working out in the favor to make the NFL better. And maybe this is a way. Maybe he's, you know, a lot of times we say that with the quarterbacks or people or players come out and they end up going to teams and you was like, man, they were like this, they were like that. And it just didn't work out. Next thing you know, they've been on a team for years and and they just, you know, almost messed their career up, you know, kind of going to deep end because they're just not happy in the situations they're in, but they're locked in for so long. And then 3-4 years down the line, and then you'd be asking questions, where are they at, you know? And then, you know, hey, if you have that, I'm not shocked. This is what Deion Sanders did that for himself. I can see him doing the same thing with his sons. And I think it's great for them that they're able to do that if they do it. And I think it's great for Colorado and Coach Prime because the recruiting is going to get even easier. You know what I mean? If he's able to work that out. I am very intrigued because I know you're a tradition guy to see what you're going to say.
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing is to me, it's a little premature. I mean, we're 13 months away from the 2025 draft.
Mm-hmm.
I get what he's saying, but the thing about it is it's great to talk about this now, but Shador and Travis Hunter's going to have the ball up next year because the thing about the situation is they're going to have to, in my personal opinion, they're going to have to be in New York for the Heisman Trophy presentation. They have to be in that building as, you know, as Heisman candidates. Yes, because, I mean, at this point, You got to show up this year, and you got to show and prove on the field because Deion is projecting them as you know the top four draft picks in the 2025 draft. That's his thought process now, but they got a ball. They got to live up to that standard before we even address it. And the thing about it, I get what he's saying and. Deion can do this in a sense because obviously he has that name almost like the Mannings in a sense. Because I know, and this is totally different than what we kind of talked about last week with Caleb Williams. Because we, you know, as far as there are specific teams that RG3 was saying, this story is going to be interesting because who will be the four worst teams in the NFL next year? And that's one thing, too, where let's talk about this once the draft order is submitted at the end of the regular season. I think it's great to say that now, but you never know what can happen between now and 13 months from now when the NFL season plays out. So I understand this is starting to become a trend because I know Marvin Harrison Jr., not saying that he's pulling Eli, but, you know, obviously he didn't have a pro day. He didn't have he didn't do much at the combine, but I understand those in a sense because he's already has put on tape enough to say, hey, I'm ready to play in the NFL. So it's kind of one of those things where I think the biggest thing has got to be their play. They got to show out next year. I mean, they're going to have to dominate for them to even have this conversation. It's great to say that now. Who knows? If we sit here in December – you know, and then we found, you know, January when it comes out because line with the draft order. So it's kind of one of the things where, and I know he said like he don't want to, you know, he don't want them to be in a cold weather city, but it's like, I mean, I get that. But in the same token, they're not going to be able to avoid cold weather because, hell, if they go to the Dolphins, I'm just giving some examples. If he goes to the Dolphins, He still got to go to Foxborough once a year. Still got to go to Buffalo once a year. You got to go to New Jersey once a year. So it's kind of one of the things, and it's not guaranteed that you're going to play them in a, you know, in a town where it's cold or what have you. So I get where he's coming from, but or like if Shador goes to Dallas, he still got to go to Philly. He still got to go to Washington. It's kind of one of those things where I get it. I get where he's coming from, but I think it's just too premature at this point. It's too early. It's 13 months in. Anything can happen between now and 13 months. I can understand if he was talking about this year's draft, makes total sense. But it's too early. And plus, these guys got a ball. They got to play. They got to put some body. They got to put some more film in.
I'm with you. I mean, I'm sure they're going to ball. I didn't really think that they have to be Heisman. I think they've already. Because I know you're saying from a player's perspective. I'm like, they bring in a lot of, and I know the NFL is different, but I know they bring in a lot of cameras. They bring in a lot of element that that the NFL, I believe, want. So. Yeah. I think that's why he's saying he's they got like a leverage, and then he could right now I think this is part of it. He could go. He's doing, you know, Deion was talking about his book, and he was just putting that out there, you know. And I know he's a great negotiator. I know he's putting that out there for a reason, you know. That don't mean that stuff is going to happen, but that's probably what he's necessarily saying. If I'm not happy to the situation they're going, they're not going there. You know what I mean? And like that's not for me to even, because you know I'm sure you know better than me. And I know one thing about the NFL, they like tradition, they like things to be a specific way. So we'll see. I believe they're gonna ball out though. I'm a fan, so I was staying up to 2-3 in the morning. So I'm not shocked. Yeah. He even said that if they get Travis, you gotta understand Travis gonna play both sides. He said that too. He was like, you know, Travis ain't going nowhere if he ain't playing both sides.
Yeah, and like you said, and it's to a point where, and you got to let the draft order play out, and then also got right. and these guys got a ball this year. So that's my thing. Right. Yeah, you can put it out there all you want, but it's just one of those things where it's just too early to do that. It's premature to even think about 2025 at this point, because you know who knows, you know, because even those top four, maybe those top four teams next year don't even need a guy like a Travis. I mean, it could be like that. You almost look at how this draft is, where because you got what, Chicago, Washington, New England, and then Arizona probably. We get him at four, but you just never know what can happen. So, you know, it is what it is. Hopefully we can revisit this, you know, this time next year. Because, you know, in the same breath, I know we talked about Caleb Williams last week, how, you know, we talked about him not having that leverage to do it, and he's a Heisman Trophy winner. So it's kind of one of those where it's, to me, it's one of the two gonna have to win a Heisman to even have this conversation, or at least be at high in the draft board. Because I think Shador, I think he's third at this point. So, but he's gonna have some opportunities this year to kind of show his ability, and he can climb up the draft charts. It could be easy task, but you're gonna have to. Because I mean, like you said, people will want that camera stuff, but then the same token, they can get him at another time if. You know, you can, but you can't pull an Eli if he's a mid first round draft pick, or you know, or a late set first round draft pick. You know, he, like you said, if they project to be top four, then you can do that leverage all you want, but they gotta play. You know,
I got you. You sure you ain't still got some bitterness about Deion and what he did at the Red?
So, we had a lot of interesting stuff go on this week at Orlando. We had a few things that happened. A few things happened, some rule changes, some broadcasting news as well. So first we're going to talk about the hip drop tackle, which has been a very popular topic this week in sports. So the NFL describes the tackle, the hip tackle ban. So pretty much the NFL describes the tackle as when a player grabs the runner with both hands or wraps the runner with both arms before the tackle. He unweights himself by swiveling and dropping his hip and lower body, legs, or below the knee. So I'm going to give an example of that tackle, and this is the tackle that ultimately he missed the majority of the season. This is his Mark Andrews play of the hip tackle that's now being banned. And if you do do this hip tackle, it will result in a 15-yard penalty. So we're going to show that right now.
On the opening drive, Andrews slip move. Takes it inside the 5-yard line. The tight end and Andrews is hurt. So Mark Andrews makes the catch, slides inside, and is in agony right now as he gets taken down by Logan Wilson. Goes to the sideline. Here's the what they are trying to get out of the league, the hip drop tackle. We'll get into that later, but in the meantime.
Yeah.
All right, so there's a play of the hip drop tackle. So in the NFL bylaws, this is by the competition committee. So they amended the Rule 12, Section 2. And this was to eliminate a potential dangerous tackling technique. Mal, your thoughts on the hip tackle ban and your thoughts on it?
You know, I'm sure it sucks to be a defensive player, because it just seemed like the stuff that you've been taught since you was a kid is starting to change, and these players are getting faster, and they're getting bigger, and it's starting to be, sometimes kind of hard to get these guys down those specific ways. And that's why I take for from the defense standpoint for the organization, I think I understand what they're saying, because these guys are starting to get paid even more money, and it's their investment. They don't want anybody to get hurt, and they're trying to figure out a way to keep them as safe as much as they can in a brutal game. One thing I've noticed, we've been through this a few years where they've done something and they've made a change, and the defense, they were upset, but eventually they adapted to it. So, that right there, I didn't get to see that. I seen that right there. I remember a lot of guys being dragged down like that, and it was some really bad injury. So I'm kind of agreeing with the league right now. You know what I mean? So that's really my take on it, man. Like, I get it.
Yeah. And before I give my take, definitely huge shout out to our guy Jordan. He said both Hunter and Sanders need to have big years for the Buffs. Yes, indeed. Most indeed. This hip drop tackle, I mean, it's kind of one of the things where it's like it's another rule that's now they became reactive in a sense. Well, obviously, you looked at that injury with Mark Andrews that pretty much sidelined him for a bulk of the season, but he was able to come back in the AFC Championship game and do his thing. Just like everything else, I think it's just another situation. Like, I remember how, like, when Tom Brady got hurt, and now you can't hit quarterbacks below the knee. Like, those type of situations, right, where they just have became reactive with that. And like you said, as a defensive guy, I would be pissed, because almost like to a point where if a guy gets past you, what are you supposed to do? Like, you're at a point, right, almost to that play, like we just said with Mark Andrews. You just gonna let just Mark Andrews just get into the end zone and score? Because, I mean, right, you're gonna, and we know the name of the game now is offense. They want to sell the tickets and have an offense and have higher numbers because of this situation. I mean, I think it's just one of those where I really wanted to see how it all plays out. Because now you think to yourself, okay, what's going to be the appropriate way to hit once, you know, once you get to a point where if a guy beats you down the field, you know, if he beats you by a few yards or so, what's going to be your plan of attack? Because now in your mind, you're like, okay, how I'm going to get this guy down? I can't get him with the hip, so how I'm going to get him down? So it's kind of one of those where it's going to be one of those where, and I think you'll see it in the beginning where, you know, guys get penalized for this and, you know, okay, and this, that, and third. But I think it's just one of those ways where it's, and I understand where they're trying to have this thing of safety and what have you, but then in the same token, you get ready to move the games to 18. We get ready to have an 18-game regular season. So as part of me is like, when they say about safety and avoiding hits, it's football. It's a collision sport. It's kind of hard for guys not to get injured. Like, everybody's going to get injured when you have that type of combat. Guys are hitting each other. So it's like you can't – there's no way of avoiding – hits, injuries, collisions, because it's going to happen. And then now they're going to be, whenever the next collective bargaining agreement happens, it's going to switch to 18 games. So it's kind of one of those where you say safety on one end, but then you're adding more risk by adding more games to the schedule. So it's kind of one of those where I always look at that as kind of like counterproductive, where you're trying to find ways to make the game safer, but you're putting them at more harms of risk. So, you know, it is what it is when it comes to that. So,
You know, I'm just, you know, like I said, a lot of all those offensive guys are getting bigger, man. And I'm like you said, when they beat you, like, so I'm sitting here like, how are you going to tackle them? Because, like, I was like, you can't horse collar. Are you supposed to grab them from the hip, from the shoulders?
Right. So, and that's what I'm saying, where it's, and then, especially when you're in the middle of playing a game, you're instinctively going to, that's the most effective way of getting a guy is
right.
Grab him by the waist, by tackling him by the waist.
Right.
So it's, and it's going to be an adjustment. It's just like everything else. I know today it sounds crazy, but they've found ways to hit effectively in a sense but I'm at a point where I just don't like the fact of the whole them stating that it's a way to make the game safer, but it's not. Like, it's like I said, it's kind of one of those where you're hitting somebody at maximum speed, you're getting tackled.
Right.
You're getting tackled by another person. You're going to get injured. It's
right.
going to happen.
Yeah.
So it's kind of one of those where, and all of these always stem from injuries. Like we talked about the horse collar, because right. the situation where Roy Williams took down Terrell Owens, and essentially that messed that situation up. Then his name was Bernard Pollard, who hit Tom Brady below the knee, tore his ACL after that. That Super Bowl loss. Then now you look at the situation with Mark Andrews, and then you've seen some other guys who've been injured off of that. I think Tony Pollard got hurt like that a few years back, from what I recall. So it's just that they're just being reactive to the current situation, and I definitely want to see how that all plays out. So we have another rule, which is going to definitely interesting. It is the kickoff rule. So. And I'm going to, let's see if I have, okay, let me pull that up momentarily. All right, so let's see what we got here. Also, okay. All right, so this is a very interesting rule. So we got a new kickoff rules in the NFL. Now, kickoffs will remain at the 35-yard line, but the 10 remaining players on the kicking unit will line up at the opposite team's 40-yard line. The receiving team lines up with at least 7 players in the setup zone, 5-yard area between their own 35 and 30-yard lines, with a maximum of 2 returners can line up in the landing zone. After the ball is kicked, the kicker can cross the 50-yard line, and the 10 kicking team players cannot move until the ball hits the ground or a player in the landing zone or goes into the end zone. The receiving team players in the setup zone also cannot move until the kick hits the ground or player in the landing zone or the end zone. The returner may move at any time during the kickoff. Here are some other situations where. So kickoffs that hit the landing zone must be returned. Kickoffs that hit the landing zone and then go into the end zone must be returned or down by the receiving team. If down, the receiving team will get the ball at its 20-yard line. Kickoffs that go into the end zone or stay in bounds that are downed would give the receiving team the ball at the 20-yard line. Kickoffs that go out of the back of the end zone in the air or bounces will be a touchback in receiving team's 30-yard line. So I know I said a lot, but I'm going to give you an example. And this is actually, if you watch the, now I guess now it's the UFL, but previously if you looked at, if you watched XFL, it's pretty much their rules. So what we're going to do, I'm going to show a video of pretty much how the new kickoff will be looking in 2024. And we'll play that right now. Playing?
Yeah, playing.
Okay. I will play it one more time because.
Interesting.
All right, so basically, that's how it will look if you, like we said earlier, if you follow the XFL, now the UFL, that's pretty much how it's going to be. Now, the interesting thing about that, more note on the kickoff. So this is kind of, I'll say, so this is a Ben's rule number 6, and it's to create a new form of free kick play that is designed to resemble a typical scrimmage play by aligning players on both teams close together and restricting movement to reduce space and speed, two, to promote more returns. And what's crazy about this rule is it's only going to be in effect for 1 year. So it could be potential where this rule could be renewed at next year's owners meeting. So what's your thoughts on this new kickoff rule, and will it stay? Will it stick?
And my question is, before, you know, you can answer after I get done. Do you think there's going to be more returns, like return for touchdowns by this? And by that happening, do you think that would be a part of a NFL game plan where their special team kickoff will, like, oh, we got the best special team, you know, best kickoff, so we can make sure that we can get past the 50. You know what I'm saying? Or something like that. They would put more emphasis on that. I don't know. Like I said, at least they're trying. They're thinking. They were saying they was trying to eliminate injuries again and try to, you know. And only thing I liked everything that it seemed like it's set up for. The only thing I didn't like about it was that the onside kick, like you have to notify them that you're going to do the onside kick. But hey, man, at least the NFL is open to try new things. That's all I really can say about it. It looks interesting, you know. I think from what I was saying, they said like a lot of the kickers that are the lone kickers are. I think they were saying something like that gives them an opportunity to really be used more. But hey, man, like I said, out the blue, they're open to new things.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'm cool with it. I think it's one of those where I think the likelihood of them getting more returns probably be better than than the previous. I definitely think it will lessen like collision type plays where, you know, if you're a guy, normally if you're getting it from like the, you know, 10, 15 yards, you sprint up field, you already, you got another defender that's on the other side of the field, and they're going at a, you know, at a maximum speed, because obviously you're not going to be at a max speed at the 40, you know. So, of course, when you meet him 20 yards later, is that the impact is not going to be as much compared to in previous rules. So, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I definitely want to see how this all plays out, and I'm glad that they're only doing this for a year to kind of test it out and see if this really works. Because I think, you know, and I think initially, I think you will probably see more returns. I think that's going to be what I think possibly, because now you look at it from a standpoint where you know, it's because I know a lot of people was thinking, oh, it's like 10 versus 1, but not in theory. I know people think that, where you're going to have all these 10 defenders, but you'll have coverage on both ends. Right. So you have a situation where, you know, I think they said 7, and then you can have like a couple people downfield. I think you had 2. So it's kind of one of those where, I mean, if you have the proper blocking scheme, I definitely think this would be a situation where you'll see a lot of returns from a team. And I'm just curious, like, and I think it will limit those collision plays like we've always seen, where guys just get like knocked out cold. You know, back then it used to be like you got baptized. Shout out to the late Stuart Scott. But you know, those type of plays where you don't, they're gonna be less. Guys are still gonna hit, but like I said, it's not gonna be like a freight train on a freight train coming. Like it's gonna be maybe like a little two convertible cars coming together, more so of a collision hit than a speeding train where you got a guy coming full speed, you know, maybe 10, 15 yards, and you got another guy coming about 30 something yards, and boom, that happened. Right. John Madden, boom.
Right.
But yeah, but like I said, this one is another one where I want to see how this plays out. But I definitely think this probably will be the most impactful out of all the new rule changes thus far. And I'm glad that, like I said earlier, that, you know, this is a one-year thing. So we're going to test it out. And that's the thing I like about the NFL, too, where, hey, we're going to test stuff out. And if it don't work, we'll go back to it. So we're going to – so I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a fun rule.
You remember that year – that they were like, you can't be on top of the quarterback. You can't sack the quarterback and go straight down and like, you know what I mean? You remember that?
Yeah, like you can't
right. Like in the beginning of the season, they were.
You talking about not below, but huh?
I remember the first year, like I remember watching the Steelers, and Ben was using that to his advantage. Like literally waiting to the last minute and wait for the person to hit him, bring him down. I think they was playing the Browns and he was laughing about it. But then I remember towards the end of the season, they kind of fixed it where, okay, we can't do that every time, because how else is a person, you know what I mean? It's just that when you pull them down, don't stay on top of them. You know what I mean? Tackle them and get up and move. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't drag them down to the ground, because you still see it now, but I don't know. Sometimes you got to try things and then work it out and then fix the little thing.
At this point,
huh? What'd you say?
Huh?
What'd you say?
No, I didn't say nothing.
Oh, okay. But yeah, like I'm saying, like a lot of times they make these decisions, and because I think it's going to be interesting. I would like to see what team would use this. The way this kickoff is to their advantage, like, you know what I mean? So like but I know if it doesn't work, they'll figure out a way to make it better.
Yeah, because that's the thing, like at 1 year, so they'll tweak it. Yeah, that's what I like about it, because it's just that 1 year, so. But yeah. All right, so we got to talk about, and obviously in the league, in the new rules in place for the 2024 season, but we got somewhat of a sneak peek of kind of the schedule coming up. So There's two things I want to talk about first. So we all knew about the Philadelphia Eagles. Their opening game will be in Brazil. But that's on Friday, September the 6th. But we found out during the owners meeting that this game on September the 6th will be a Peacock exclusive game. And also, Amazon will also have an exclusive NFL wild card game. Then, on top of that, the NFL did announce that they will have a Christmas Day doubleheader, which Christmas falls on a Wednesday this year. And I know we'll probably dive deep more into the scheduling portion of, like, as far as Christmas Day games and also that's concerned. So what was your thoughts on the Eagles' first ever NFL Friday game exclusively being aired on Peacock?
Again, not being negative, I'm going to be able to watch the game, but I don't have Peacock. But I know the NFL is trying new things. I know that's what they got to do. I don't really I don't like the Peacock thing because, like, for me, I was one of the playoff games was on Peacock, and I'm sitting there. I'm at a bar, and somebody, one of the customers, had to use their Peacock account to watch it. And once they left, we couldn't watch the game anymore. So that's my only issue. That's the only thing I don't like about it. You know what I'm saying? Boy, if it had been Netflix, we'd have been on. You know what I mean? But I don't have Peacock, but I'm still going to be able to watch the game.
Yeah, and I hate it. And it's funny because we talked about this during the wild card round when we had the Miami Dolphins and Kansas City Chiefs playing in the wild card. We said that this was going to happen, that this was the success of that being live stream was going to be opportunities for these networks to have these apps, like we talked about Peacock. You know, this was going to happen. And now you look at it from the standpoint of, you know, something that, especially with Peacock, that could be on NBC that you can watch, that you used to back in the day, can just watch Channel 12 without any streaming service. You can just watch it if you have an antenna. Something as simple as having an antenna, you can watch this Friday night football game. But obviously, you're not going to be able to watch the Friday night football game unless you have Peacock legally. Right. We're not talking about legally. Let's just do that in air quotes. My thing with it is just it's to a point now where I think this is just the beginning. Like you said, and I think we talked about this even in January, where we're going to have a situation where we're going to have a pay-per-view Super Bowl, pay-per-view maybe in a regular season. Like, it's going to get to a point where it's almost going to be headed that way. Because I think what's going to happen, especially with Peacock, I think in order for you to watch Sunday night football games, it's going to be almost similar to Amazon, where that, you know, you can only watch Thursday night game on Amazon legally.
Right.
On that. So I think that's where Paramount Plus, obviously with the CBS attachment, I think they're gonna be another one where they could be have a situation where you're gonna be paying, and you know, you're gonna have to pay for Peacock to watch NFL games. And then, as we talked about it maybe a few weeks ago, about I think Warner Brothers, Fox, ESPN all was merged together to create an app. I think Fox is gonna be, once they create this new app that's supposed to be coming in the fall, I think there could be a situation where that Fox app potentially is going to be where you'll be able to watch NFL games on there. So if you got your Sunday slate, you have to pay for that Fox app, the CBS app. Then you obviously, you know, and I think with that Fox app, it's probably going to bundle with the ESPN. So if you want to see Troy Buck on Monday nights, if you want to see, you know, Chris Collinsworth and Mike Tirico, You got to get Peacock if you want to see, Big Al, Big Al Michaels, Kirk Herbstreit, Taylor Rooks in them, Amazon Prime. Hey, come on now. You have Amazon Prime. So, it's going to get to a point where just to watch NFL football is going to be the price of a former cable bill, obviously. Right. And the crazy thing about it is, and what's going to suck about it is, get higher and higher. Who's going to be the most affected by it? Because the players are going to get that money from the revenue from the TV deals. It's going to be passed on the consumer. So I know people say, you're talking about $6 apps, $5 apps here and there. They're not going to be $5 or $6 apps forever. As these networks have to pony up more money for NFL content, we're going to pay for it. Like, just like everything, we're going to be the direct consumer of it. So, yes, people going to say, say you broke, you broke. You say that in about 20 years when you be paying $80 for just damn Peacock. You know? So it's just like,
paying $80 for Peacock.
It's
right. It is.
It's just because we always know that the pricing is going to differ at this point. And it ain't going to be tomorrow. But as these prices,
I know we got a little bit late, but go ahead. My bad.
So, and that's the thing where it's going to get to that point because these TV contracts, they're going to increase because obviously the NFL, they're going to have to pony up more money. So obviously when they pony up that money, that's going to come from us because that's going to come when they add and increase, these packages and they increase this type of stuff. So like we talked about the ESPN's merger and all that with those apps in the fall, we're going to be paying for that year in and year out because it's going to get to a point where these TV deals are going to be so rich. Like, it's going to be expensive.
Yeah. I remember back in the day, I was talking to a friend of mine because he said Disney was coming with an app and they were taking all their stuff from Netflix. And I was like, well, y'all make it seem like Netflix is going to fall. Well, all those things that Disney have, Disney is having problems with it too. They merging with other companies because that app wasn't doing as well as they thought. So I'm just saying, as the consumer, as much as we love the NFL, I get it, but we've got to start being more responsible. They need us just as much as we want to watch. So, man, you got to start talking to people, man, because like I said, I was at the bar and a customer had Peacock. You know what I mean? And once he left, the bar didn't even have the game anymore. So like that, because it's going to go that way. It's going to come to the point that you're going to pay $80, $100 for Peacock. You know what I mean? When I would rather just pay for an NFL app on Amazon than pay for Peacock. I get it because there are other stores, but I would rather do that because at least I would get certain games or certain things that, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, I don't know. But I would get this too. Like, why not do it more like Amazon did? You know, like with their Thursday night football. Why would you put important games on Peacock? Like the season that the Eagle season opener, that is big for Eagle fans. Why would you put that on Peacock? Like, why would you put the playoffs on Peacock? I think just take baby steps, homie. Like, you know what I mean? Like, be more like Amazon and just, you know, give us, I don't know. Right. I know.
You're right.
I know.
You're right. Get what the baby step was January 6th with the Chiefs and the Dolphins. They're gonna make us run before we walk.
Right.
Oh, we done had the baby steps. We finna go to kindergarten with this Peacock. Right. Trust me, we're gonna go from being a little embryo to a full grown toddler in an instant. they're not playing with us. They like they, but it's probably gonna get to a point where it might be low key cheaper. Well, even it might be cheaper for you to get Sunday ticket at one point. I mean, unless unless there's an increase, especially if you're somebody who's if you want, you know, it's getting outrageous, and it's to a point where, you know, they got us, dude. They got us, man. They got us hook, line,
and sinker. What about the YouTube TV thing? Yep. Like,
yeah,
are they giving
that's
a discount for it, or
no? And that's see, and that's another one where we talk. If people talk about that and like Sling TV, and it used to be cheap. That stuff used to be cheap, but now YouTube TV $72. Like, I thought we were trying to unplug from the cable.
Right,
but it's better just going to cable because we, and it's crazy because I used to complain because I was like, well, I only watch like 5 channels. Why am I getting $900? I mean, 900 channels. Hell, give me all them channels back. Give me stuff I don't watch no more. Give me Music Choice or give me HGTV plus my stuff that I got going now. Take me back, cable. Well,
you know, DirecTV back.
Like, this is it's just really getting out of hand.
I remember.
Yeah, see, that's another thing too. Where and now,
I remember back in 2011, man. DirecTV was warning us: you guys really need to write your congressman because these certain channels.
But the thing with that, with the DirecTV, the NFL ticket's gone.
Right. So this is what I remember in 2011. They was like, you need to write your congressman because I'm telling you, they're talking about overcharging. And that which would make your bill higher than what it is, and we want you guys to write your own congressman or your senator to say this is not right because we don't want to charge you guys. Channels like ESPN, blah blah blah. They were telling. I remember that, man. I remember that. I was like, what? What's going on? Like, you know what I mean? And then I remember trying to get Xfinity cable, and they was like, well, because it used to be you just had your basic cable, you got your one HBO, or you just got ESPN. You may get HBO or Movie Time. And then all of a sudden they was like, no, you get this package, you get ESPN, but you don't get no BET, you get this, you get that, or you know what I mean? Or it was weird. I was like, what? Why can't you just get basic? Mm-hmm. One each. Strange. Right.
It is, man. And it's to a point where it's just like, yeah. And now DirecTV is nothing at this point because now NFL ticket gone. So now YouTube, you know, got the rights to the Sunday ticket. So it's kind of one of those where, it's going to be interesting, but, you know.
I wonder if Hulu the best one. I think I was watching The Herd, and he was saying, was it FUBU?
If you want to watch FUBU Sport? watch the Eagles play in Brazil.
It's a couple apps out there. Sling, I think it's called FUBU or FOBO Sports or something like that. I think that's like $20.
And that's seemed like dollars a month.
Right. I think I don't know. For some reason, I think Hulu might be a little expensive, but I think that might be the best one because I think they got all the sports also. You get the sports package, but it might be a little expensive. I mean, it look expensive, but I think that might be the best one. But really, it's all comes down to this. Whoever given the best Wi-Fi for the right price, that's probably going to be the, you know, I'll get Peacock. They say, hey, we'll take off $20 of your bill from your Wi-Fi. You know what I mean? Or something like that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind getting it.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's getting to a point where it's starting to get out of hand. And it's just the beginning of it. So that's the thing that's going to suck up all this. And then, you know, and I know, you know, we'll talk about, we'll hold off on the Christmas Day doubleheader. We'll wait till the schedule comes out in May. But also, we'll know the Eagles opponent on next week. They're on their opening game. So we shall see who they'll face on September the 6th. Unprecedented night NFL Friday night game. So then, you know, So we'll find out next week who will be their opponent, which is definitely going to be interesting. And I definitely don't think it's going to be the because who they will play. I think they will play the AFC. We play the AFC South this year, so it could be Houston. Even I know Houston and Chicago. Actually, another note, Houston and Chicago will play in the Hall of Fame game at 8 p.m. So we got football in less than almost 4 months. You know, 4 months from what, Monday on the dot, we'll have some preseason game. I think that game won't be on Peacock. It won't be an exclusive Peacock, but it'll be on regular TV for now. But yeah.
Word.
All right. So we'll put a bow on tonight's show. We'll give all our game ball and our final thoughts for tonight. Mal, what's your game ball this week?
Oh, my game ball goes to two games. The first one go to the Hawks. Yeah, the Hawks and the Celtics. The Hawks was down 30 to take the game and won by two with Tatum with 37 points. Jay Brown, 24, with Deontay Murray had 19. And Bogdanović, hope I said his name right, had 22. And the next one go to the Bucks versus the Lakers, where the Lakers and went into a double overtime. They were down 19 twice. The Lakers won the game by four, 124 to 128. Let me see. Giannis had 34 and 20 rebounds. AD had played 52 minutes. It actually finished a double overtime. AD had played 52 minutes, 23 rebounds, 34 points. Austin Reeves had a triple double, 29 points, 12 assists, and 12 rebounds or 10 rebounds. And D'Lo had 29. He was 3 points for getting a triple double also.
Yeah, man. What's going on with Milwaukee, man?
I know, but we'll talk about that. I guess you ain't talk basketball, so
Milwaukee, it's just what, man. I
saw the game, and I'm gonna be honest with you, they lost by four, right? It was really Middleton. Nobody talks about Middleton ever, but he got 12 points. He got his 12th point, B, with 6 minutes left in the fourth. You know what I mean? I was like, they doing a pick and roll with Giannis and Lillard. I was like, they should do the pick and roll with him and Middleton, because Porter's bald, Lopez bald, and then it just seemed like, I don't know if they just got tired or what. You know, it just, the intensity was crazy. It was good to see AD though out there.
Yeah, man. The Bucks
getting physical and stuff. You know.
Yeah, crazy, right. Crazy, but yeah, shout out to Doc.
Hey, you know, it felt good watching Gilbert's Arenas today.
Get my week's game ball. Give it out to someone you're very familiar with, Maui.
Let's go.
So I give my game ball. Let me give it out to the legendary Duquesne head coach. Who just retired, Keith Dambright. Obviously, led Duquesne to their first NCAA tournament win over BYU last week. Their first tournament win since 1969, and also Coach Dambright's first ever NCAA win. Obviously, he was, I think, 0-3 in his tournament appearance at University of Akron. And as I mentioned earlier, he has retired as a coach at Duquesne. So at Duquesne, he was 116 wins and 96 losses with an overall record of 529 wins and 305 losses. But shout out to Coach Dambright. I've met him once. I've seen him in passing a few weeks ago, but definitely huge shout out to him. represented the Atlantic 10 very well. I won the A-10 tournament over our beloved VCU last week. Well, 2 weeks ago at this point. And, you know, great career for Coach Dan Bryant as he right off to the sunset. Definitely a huge shout out to him. And hopefully our boy Drew Joyce, the third, is at this point is the leading candidate to replace Dan Bryant at Duquesne. So hopefully he'll get that nod. But we'll find out very soon. Hopefully we'll find out soon as far as who will be the next coach at Duquesne. But definitely huge shout out to Coach Dan Bryant. Yeah.
Word. Congratulations.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yep. And shout out to him, man. He did a great run, man. It's crazy to think. And their run this March run was phenomenal. And I know they came to the Seeker Center on March the 5th, beat VCU, and then, you know, almost went 10 days later, beat them once again in the Atlantic 10 tournament. So they had a hell of a run, and it fell a little short. Obviously, I think they lost to Illinois last week. But, you know, still great run. They went dancing for the first time since 1977. Mm-hmm. They get their first win in nearly 55 years. So huge shout out to them. And Duquesne, the Dukes. So, you know. It is what it is. So, final thoughts before we round out tonight.
Great show. You know, just get ready for the weekend. See what else is going to happen in sports. I swear, it seemed like every week it'd be some stuff come out of nowhere. You'd be like, well, damn. Like, matter of fact, I said this last week, and look, we're talking about the gambling. You know, it just seemed like it's always something. It's never boring.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's funny because there was another gambling story which we're gonna wait to. Right. I thought about talking about Jonte Porter,
right?
But I'm gonna wait to that playoff because it's really interesting and it's really intriguing. It's to a point where I know it's under investigation, but
right.
But once we talk about this, I think this is one is gonna be this is probably by far probably one of the will be the most strangest bets and everything is around. So once there's some more information, because it's an investigation going on, because of they haven't necessarily stated that Jonte Porter betted on himself, but there is some breadcrumbs at this point that will implicate some funny business with some prop bets on his behalf on his stat line. So we'll probably talk about that next week, and hopefully as the investigation go on, we'll definitely discuss that. Because that's another crazy story. Like in this, and then we talked about this whole sports thing where
they're
gonna have to have stricter policies when it comes to that stuff, because now you're compromising the game in a sense where, you know, a lot of people are going to look at this situation like, why would I bet? And it's rigged. It's all, you know, you already fought that off before they went to bed with these sports books and what have you. Now, it's what I asked, almost like it seemed like it's confirmed. Another great show, you know, so and now it's, you know, it's the month ends. We, you know, obviously we got some great hoops action tomorrow night in the Sweet 16, Elite Eight. So we come back here next week. It'll be only down to four. A tournament that had 68 teams will be down to four. We'll be back here. We come back next week, so we'll talk about the final four as well. So. And also, Mal, your social media.
Deshaun Morgan, Facebook, DT Morgan 78. Not really, man. A friend of mine just is recovering off of surgery and going through chemo on this Tuesday, which I think is the 2nd. They're having a fundraiser at El Patron on Route 10 in Chester. It's for Lydia Ortiz. It's just to give her love and healing and donations. They're having a little thing for her. So if you know her or you just like to give to people that's in their healing moment after her scary situation with her cancer, please come through. Like from like 4 to I think like 8, El Patron, Route 10, Chester, right by the Wawa and the Little Caesars and close to the Lidl. But yeah, man, please come through. That's really one thing we got going on. That's about it, man. Back to you.
Pretty much, anyway, your social media, Facebook, Twitter, aka X, Couch Coach Live. Also, check out Couch Coach Live website, couchcoachlive.com. Check out our NASCAR preview with our guy Adam Cheek. As we get prepared for race weekend this week, he gave a comprehensive review preview of this week's race in Richmond. So yeah, man, that wraps it up. Hopefully my internet will be good next week, because the internet did not let me be great till this afternoon, but we are back at it again, back at full strength next week. Hopefully the internet will cooperate. So this has been this week's Couch Coach Live, and we'll catch you guys next week. And we're out.
You're welcome.